This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy and delighted to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many great affiliates out there all over the United States and beyond. And we also are appreciative to be with you through Sirius XM Station 130. So we invite you always to join us in one of those ways. And did you know that there are jillions of platforms that also carry EWTN Radio? So you can go right out online to EWTN.com and listen to us live there. You can go to womenofgrace.com and listen to us live there. All kinds of other platforms that carry this broadcast, because we want you to live the abundant life and share the abundant life with others. And we want you to be happy. We want you to be happy in your Catholic faith. And I don't mean an emotion that just comes and goes, but I mean, you know, it deep down, hardcore joy of heart. And so that's what we talk about right here on Women of Grace Live, Monday through Friday at this same time. We love when you are part of the program, and you can be part of the program. I'm always encouraging you to give us a call here. We've got a toll-free number for you. And as I like to say, you know, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away, right? So, you know, just get over that little bit of shyness. You know, you're all by yourself there. Nobody's looking at you, but we can hear you. And you can give us a call here, and we will take your question or your comment. We'll address it on the air. We're also available for you out there in social media. So how is it that you contact us? Well, this toll-free number is available for you here, and it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we invite you to pick up the phone. Call us here. We're eager to hear from you that way, but we're also eager to hear from you via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There is a chat feature there on each of those pages, and you just put in your question or comment, and our producer, Jeff Burson, who is also our social media manager, will dash on out there, and he will retrieve it for you. Now, if you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, please do let us know, because we will ring, get this, our little bell for you, welcoming you for the first time. Mike McCall is on phones today. When you call in, say howdy hey to him. He'll say howdy hey back. And of course, we invite you to use that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Do give us a call. We want to hear from you. We certainly do. There's something else I want to tell you about, though. I'm very excited about this. Coming up on February the 12th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Women of Grace is hosting a Valentine's online marriage retreat. And guess who the presenters are? The presenters are myself and my husband, Jack Williams. So if you enjoy us when we are on Monthly Marriage Monday together, you'll enjoy, I hope, what we're going to present at this Valentine's online marriage retreat. The theme is falling in love and staying there. I mean, that's an important thing, isn't it? Falling in love is one thing, but staying in love, that's another matter. How do you do that? And how do you keep that flame of love, that romantic love alive in your marriage? We're going to be talking about all kinds of things like that. And what do you do when the going gets tough? You know, everybody hits tough little places in their marital life. Well, how do you do it? What do you do? How do you get through it? We'll be talking about all of those kinds of things at this beautiful Valentine's online marriage retreat, February 12th. That's the Saturday before Valentine's Day, February 12th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And the theme is falling in love and staying there, as I mentioned. And here are the talk titles. And you can go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, click on the marriage retreat. It'll take you to a landing page, and all the information I'm giving you is right there. And guess what you can do there too? You can register. So we want you to do that most especially. But here are the talks that we're going to be giving. The Chosen, And then Made for Each Other, Reading the Love Signs, Growing Together in Holiness. And here is one of my favorites. You can guess that this would be one of my favorites. Bound by the Beads, Praying the Rosary Together. We've got activities planned for you through the course of our time together. It'll be a fairly interactive opportunity for us to come together as the people of God in this special way on February 12th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have a nice break that is there as well, so that you can have an opportunity to eat lunch and maybe talk together a little bit about what it is that you've heard, and then come back for the final sessions. So we're inviting you to join us there. You can register, as I say, right online. Just go to womenofgrace.com, February 12th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Falling in Love and Staying There is the theme. It is an online marriage retreat hosted by Women of Grace, the two presenters, yours truly, and her husband, Jack Williams. So please do come. I'm really excited about this. I am so excited about this. I just am hoping that lots of you will join us for this very special day. And let me just say this about that too. Obviously it's a marriage retreat, but if you're planning to be married, what a beautiful thing for you and your fiance to do. It would be an opportunity for you to begin to think, you know, outside of the box a little bit. I know what it's like. You know, I've been married twice, and I know you can get inside of the box of marriage, especially once the engagement happens, and then the mind turns to preparation for that big day. But that's a day. You know, what carries you through a lifetime? That's what we want to talk about. So I think that this marriage retreat would be valuable for you as well. If you are serious in a relationship with someone, if you're engaged, if your date's already picked, come. For those of you that have been married, I don't care if you've been married for a day or if you've been married for, you know, 50 years. There's always something to learn about this vocation that is ours in the married state. So I'm certainly hoping that you will join Jack and myself February 12th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time for our Valentine's Day online marriage retreat. Again, just go out to womenofgrace.com, click on the information that's there on the homepage about it. It takes you to a landing page. You can sign up. You can register. You can see what the schedule looks like. And there's a little bio of me and a bio of Jack as well that is there. So yay! Isn't that going to be fun? I hope you think so. I sincerely hope you think so. 800 it is not 800. I always want to give you the toll-free number, and 800 pops into my mind, but that isn't it. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace, where we love to have that holy conversation with you, inviting you to pick up that phone and give us a call right here. Michael McCall is on the phones today, as we've mentioned to you. So be sure to say hi to him. He'll say hi back. If you're a first timer, please let us know. And I do this. I ring my bell for you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. If you go out to EWTN's YouTube channel or Facebook page, you'll find a chat feature there. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. So we are looking forward to that. We have individuals calling in right now. We're going to go to you, Matt, when we come back. We also have some questions that have been left for us on our comment line. We'll try to get to some of those today. And gee whizzikers, there's that music. It's time for the first break. Maybe during this break, you'll want to get out to womenofgrace.com and check out this beautiful online marriage retreat coming up, preparatory for Valentine's Day on February the 12th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Also inviting you to be sure to watch Women of Grace television. We air at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And we're going to be coming right back after this break. I'm Johnette Williams. This is Women of Grace Live. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and you just heard those numbers, but let me repeat them for you. Here is the toll-free number for you if you are here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to use that number. Toll-free for you in North America. Now, if you're outside of North America, here's a number for you. Country code 1-205-271-2985. 1-800-795-8585. And we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We've got chat features there, and that's where you put your question or comment. Jeff Burson, who is our producer, will dash on out there, and he will retrieve it and put it up on the board, and we'll address it. Now, if you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, do let us know, and I'll ring my bell for you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. That toll-free number, again, phones being answered today by Michael McCall, is 833-288-EWTN. We have Matt with us, and Matt is calling from Virginia today, and he's listening to us via, and I've got to whisper this one, Alexa. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good, and how are you today?
Very well, thank you for asking. So what's going on with you?
Back on Monday, my aunt passed away, and it was my dad's sister.
Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. It's very difficult when we lose someone that we love very much, and there's no way around it. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer interiorly. But, you know, Scripture reminds us of something, Matt, and I'll remind you of it in the time that we're spending together on the air today. And in Thessalonians, and it is 1 Thessalonians, and it is chapter 4, we read something very important, and it says this. It says, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep." And here St. Paul is talking about those who have passed away. "We would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." So what the apostle is saying there, Matt, and this might give you some consolation, is he is not saying that we do not grieve our loved ones. It is a natural process of the human condition and our love for others that we grieve those who pass away. And I remember, of course, in sacred scripture where Jesus loses his friend Lazarus and he weeps. And, you know, it's the shortest verse in scripture. Jesus wept. 2 words. That gives us permission to grieve too. So it's important for you to allow yourself to feel that pain and to pass through that pain, and to allow God, in the midst of that pain, to give you the grace that you need to be able to appropriate that pain in a way that is going to be beneficial for you and beneficial for the one who has died. So this is the hope that we have, see? So it says we do not grieve like those who have no hope. We have hope. Your aunt, a beautiful woman of God, I'm sure, lived a life in him. And so you have reason to be hopeful that you are going to see her again, and that in a certain way, as John the 23rd, now St. John the 23rd, told us, our loved ones are not separated from us, but only invisible to us. So, you know, during this time, allow yourself to feel the pain, allow yourself to grieve and to cry, but know that in the end, in eternity, you are going to see her again, and that through the communion of saints, she is near to you, perhaps even nearer than she was when she was alive. So we're sorry for her loss, Matt. We're sorry for your loss, too.
Thanks. And her name was Jo.
Her name was Jo. Well, let's just say a little prayer for the repose of the soul of your Aunt Jo. Father God, we come before you this moment, and first of all, we lift Matt up to you, who is grieving the loss of his Aunt Jo. Lord, you know what the relationship was like between Matt and his aunt. You know, Lord, how that relationship was nurtured through your divine life. And you know, Lord, that when we lose a loved one, we suffer. We suffer interiorly. And sometimes it's a very deep suffering that can rock, you know, us to the very core. But you tell us in your word that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And so I ask, Father, that you would stir up within Matt that theological virtue of hope that Matt received at the moment of his baptism and that was strengthened in him when he was confirmed. I ask that he tastes the sweetness of this hope even in this most bitter of circumstances. Father God, we ask that as he makes his journey through this time of grieving, he would take the suffering that he's experiencing and offer it for the repose of the soul of his Aunt Jo, and also, too, for the remission of his own sin. Father God, we additionally ask that you would be abundantly merciful to Aunt Jo that she would behold the fullness of life that you have in mind for her, whether she's tasted in it at the moment of her particular judgment and is now in purgatory, or whether she is in the beatific right this very moment and made her way straight to heaven. We ask, Father God, that she would certainly benefit to the maximum by that which you are entrusting to her at this moment in her life, her eternal life. Father, we ask for the repose of her soul. We ask that the perpetual light would shine upon her. We ask for your mercy, Lord. And we ask that through this time, Matt continues to grow in his faith and to grow in love of you. And we do offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matt, be assured of the fact that I will be tucking you and your Aunt Jo into my rosary today. So know that there's this woman here praying for you, and I'm sure that many of our listeners will also be holding you and your aunt's soul in their prayer today as well. Thank you, Matt, for your call. And we encourage you to give us a call here, friends, 833-288-EWTN. Perhaps you, like Matt, have a prayer request. Perhaps you want to share about what it is that helped you to get through a moment of deep suffering, whether it be through the loss of a loved one or a reversal in life. We'd love to hear about it here. You will edify and encourage many others who are listening today. That number again is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Available for you also out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature. We'll get your question and we'll be able to address it. Well, here's a good opportunity, Jeff, for us to take one of the comments that has been left for us on our listener comment line.
Hello. Yes, my name is Allie. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. And I had a question. Why can't women be priests? It seems a bit sexist, no? But really, why can't women be priests? I wish that women could be priests. And that's my question. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Allie from San Antonio, Texas, this is a question that comes up from time to time. So, and there's a lot of reasons why women cannot be priests. But I think that what we do when we say that women should be priests, and isn't this kind of sexist, and isn't this, you know, some kind of a denigration of the contribution of the female person to the life of the church? We're looking through a very narrow lens. We're looking through, if I may put it this way, a rights-based lens, R-I-G-H-T-S, rights-based lens. I should have a right. Well, you know, here's the funny thing about this business of rights. This concept comes up through the culture of the day, and what we think should be our rights, you know, from time from one time to another time in time, can change and can be you know, mitigated in different ways. Certainly, we all have certain rights here in the United States. We proclaim that. We say we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to practice our religion freely. We have the right to bear arms. We have the right of free speech. These are rights that are endowed upon us by the government in which we live, but are in concert with God's rights for us, okay? The dignity of the human person. When it comes, however, to these matters of faith, when it comes to these matters of the church, we cannot apply, you know, a governmental understanding or a secular cultural understanding to what is our right. Our rights given to us by God come by virtue of the way in which He's created us. And how has God created us? He's created us in His image, and He's created us in His likeness. And it is in being created in the image of God and in His likeness that we find our true dignity. But note this, it says in sacred scripture in Genesis 1, it states that let us create man in our image, in the divine image He created him, male and female He created them. So it tells us there that God displays Himself to us through two sexes, the masculine and the feminine. Now, there are appropriations of the way in which God's manifestation looks through the female person and looks through the male person. And when they come together, the whole is made evident. And what is that whole? It is the manifestation, or if you will, the picture that God would have us see of himself. And to the male and to the female, he ascribes certain charisms, certain graces that are attentive to their gender. Okay, so now, you know, if we're looking at this, we need to see and perceive what is God saying to us through our gender. Well, the way in which we do this is to see how life comes through the masculine and how life comes through the feminine. Our bodies are not an oh, by the way. Our bodies, gender is not a socially engineered construct. It is not. It is a definitive statement about the individual who is female and about the individual who is man. And they join God in his most creative action, which is the bringing forth of new life. This is what God does in his divine person. He brings forth new life and he incorporates the feminine and the masculine into that greatest of his creations, the bringing about of new life. So we look at the masculine, we look at the feminine. This tells us something about the metaphysical realities, the essential nature of things, and how God desires for things to take place. We see that it is the man's participation in that beautiful marital act that implants the seed of life in the woman. All right? And that seed of life, when it is joined to the woman's contribution, if you will, an egg ready to be fertilized, then life happens. He generates life in the woman, and that life is contained in the woman and born through her. All right, that's very important to understand the answer to your question. You might say, I don't know, where is she going with this thing? But I want you to stay with me here. So what we know of this being God's ordained way in which life comes about, it tells us something about the way in which spiritual life comes about. And so it is that during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the highest prayer that we have, and the greatest aspect of the vocation of priesthood, we see the priest in persona Christi. Jesus is a man, right? And we see In that reality, that through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is a representation of Calvary, divine life comes and is planted in the woman. And who is the woman? The woman is the church, comprised of all of the children of the church. So during that holy sacrifice of the Mass, divine life is communicated, generated, initiated through the priest, implanted in the woman who is the church. And what happens? Spiritual life comes. Relationship with God comes. Relationship with life flourishes. So, we cannot divorce the reality of the masculine and the feminine from the way in which life, physical life, and spiritual life comes about. We see this in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And when is the church actually born? The church is born through his salvific action on Calvary. His blood poured out becomes the seed of life. And he, in that moment, is birthing the church that comes by way of what we see there, when at the foot of the cross, when he entrusts Mary to John and John to Mary, the church is there and divine life comes. And we see all of that being lived out, after his death and his resurrection and his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So this is not a capricious action. It's not an action that's kind of determined by what are our rights in a secular sense or even a governmental sense. This is about the metaphysical reality of how God determines that life should come about, physical life and spiritual life. You put a woman behind that altar and she can do absolutely everything that the priest can do except one thing, consecrate that host and that wine so that they become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ by which the people are fed and spiritual life comes to them. She cannot affect that because it's not the way God set it up. From the very beginning in Genesis 1. I hope that helps you, and I hope certainly that we have a deeper appreciation of what is taking place when we go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Jesus is coming. We're receiving him. Life happens. What kind of life? Supernatural life, spiritual life, union with him. And it comes by way of the priest, and the opportunity through him is made available to his bride, the bride of Christ, the church. So I hope that helps you. And we've got lots of time here for you today, and we're eager to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I invite you to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And we invite you to use the chat feature there. Jeff Burson will dash out, retrieve it, get it up on the board. Michael McCall will answer your phone. If you're a first-time submitter or caller, please let us know and we'll ring our bell. I think one of the, you know, St. Paul says, do not conform yourselves to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. I think that we need to, put that needlepoint, that particular passage, or put it on a poster in our house, or, you know, stick it on our mirror every day so that we can read it. It is a Holy Spirit inspired mandate. It's an instruction. It's telling us what we're supposed to do, and it comes in the form of a command. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. What we do, unfortunately, is we take the mind of the world and we try to apply it to the things of God, and that's never going to work. So when we were talking about this discussion that we just had, you know, we've got to ask God to help us to acquire a supernatural outlook, to see the world through his eyes, to be able to take the truths of the faith and apply them to our secular and cultural situation, as opposed to trying to make the church into the secular and cultural perspective. We're doing it backwards, friends. We've got to get it straight up. That's our job. That's our mission today. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. So happy you are with us today, encouraging you to give us a call here. Our phone lines are open for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here. If you are outside of North America, your number is country code 1-205-271-2985. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we invite you to use the chat feature there to communicate with us. We're looking forward to hearing from you. We've got Michael McCall on phones today, and he is eager to talk with you. If you're a first-time submitter or caller, do let us know and we'll ring our bell. Jeff Burson will retrieve your question. So do let him know if you're a first-time submitter too, if you're in social media land, and we'll still ring that bell for you. And the phone lines are lighting up and I'm putting a smile on my face. So while we are getting those calls screened, let's take a prayer request from Jennifer, who is out there on Facebook. She says, my mom woke up feeling ill and had a lot of symptoms of COVID. So she is right now getting a COVID test. Please keep her in your prayers. Her name is Linda. And so, Jennifer, we will pray for your mom, Linda, as we're screening these calls, and I hope that all is well with her. Father God, we just come before you in this moment, and we lift Linda up to you. You know everything that is taking place in her body right now. We thank you for the gift of medical science that allows us to understand what is taking place in our bodies, to make a diagnosis that we might receive what it is that we need to be well once again. We pray, Father God, for Linda's complete health, total health. And if in fact she does have COVID, we pray for her complete recovery. And we pray that you would minimize the symptoms of this virus. We ask, Father God, that she would in short order be well again, serving you and serving those that she loves. Father, we ask that she would use any kind of discomfort or incapacity during this time, for uniting it to the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in union with all of the redemptive grace that was poured out through that salvific action, for perhaps maybe for all of those who are suffering with very severe cases of COVID. We ask all of this, Lord, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Jennifer, I do hope your mom makes a full recovery. And for any of you that are suffering with COVID today, be assured of the fact that I'll be praying for you. I myself had a 3-week bout with it, and I'm on the other side now, and I'm grateful for that. And, you know, but anytime we have any kind of a situation that causes us any kind of discomfort, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or psychological, it is an opportunity to enter more deeply in union with our Lord through his cross. So as I always say, don't let your suffering go to waste. Please don't let it go to waste. Use it. Even you, Jennifer, your worry and concern for your mother, that is something that you can offer to God for her benefit, right? Isn't it beautiful that God determines to leave open this salvific grace, this redemptive grace, this one act that achieves our salvation, to leave it open that we might enter into it and in a way become a conduit of that grace in the world today. It is a beautiful, beautiful gift that we have and that we should make use of. Excuse my cough. That is a lingering side effect of the COVID. We've got Mary out there in California, and let's see what Mary has to share with us today. Good morning, Mary.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
So this is what's going on. I'm having marital issues.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I called maybe a couple of weeks ago or months ago. I don't remember. But it was about my husband. We've been married for 20, well, we've been together for 22 years. And he cheated on me. He told me, well, I found some things and he confessed and he cheated on me. And this is a person that nobody would ever have thought that he would do this to me. And it hurts me to my soul. So he told me, he confessed. But in June, he had already told me that he didn't feel the same love towards me, that he does feel like if something was to happen to me, he does care for me. He just doesn't feel the same for me. Mm-hmm. I have been praying. I feel like this EWTN has got me more spiritual, watching segments of Mother Angelica. But now we're trying to work things out. And I've been praying. And anytime if I'm praying, he doesn't want to get near it. He doesn't want to. He just leaves me. Like if I'm praying over the phone with my family, the rosary, he leaves me by myself. He doesn't want to be near the church.
Yes. Well, Mary, let's talk about this for a moment here. It's understandable that he would leave when you're praying the rosary. Why is that? Because when you're in deep sin, you don't want to have anything to do with God. And this is, I tell parents this very frequently, if your children all of a sudden decide they don't want to go to church anymore, it's time for you to, begin to be a good parent and try to figure out what's causing this. Sometimes it's just that they want to explore other things, and we can easily work with that. But sometimes it's because they have begun to allow themselves into activities that are sinful. And so one of the real signs, I think, that something's going on is this decision to move away from God, especially if you have been faithful throughout your life. So you're experiencing that. So it's understandable that he doesn't want to be around you when you're praying or around your children. My question is, he's cheated on you. Is that past tense or is he cheating on you? Present tense.
Well, that's the thing is that he told me how he felt about me in June, and then I found some things in November where he confessed and told me that he cheated on me in November. Well, I found out he cheated on me. So I guess he must have cheated on me before. He doesn't want to tell me exactly when. Like, I know it goes,
okay.
I guess it was June or July or whatever. but she cheated on me, and from my understanding, it was with two other people. And
it was,
and
what?
Now,
say that again, please. I didn't hear you.
It was with two other people. With two people.
So he's cheated on you twice.
Yes, but now he's on social media, and he's talked to people on social media, and there's a girl that I guess he talked to, a girl,
okay.
And he already confessed to me that.
So basically what we have here, Mary, what we have here is a serial cheater. So this isn't a man who has cheated once and is remorseful and wants to repair the marriage. This is a man who's continued to cheat. So this is what I want to say. What can you do in this? Well, what you can do in this is to remain faithful to your marital vows. That is your job, to remain faithful to your marital vows, even though he's cheated on you. So the second thing is, and this is the hardest part of this, Mary, the second thing is you've got to try to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that you condone. Forgiveness does not mean the same thing as condoning. Forgiving someone is a free will action prompted by grace that sets us free from the consequence of sin. So your husband has sinned against you. Your job is to forgive your husband, not to condone the behavior, not to say that everything's okay, not to sweep it under the rug. This doesn't make a patsy out of you. This doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you any of those things. What it makes you is Christ-like. Jesus forgave those who persecuted him. He forgave those who murdered him. We're called to do the same thing. So that can be a process, a long process. But you need to begin the process so that you can be freed from the consequences of the sin that's been committed against you. Otherwise, the lack of forgiveness holds you in bondage to the sin that's been committed against you. And it will have repercussions on you in your life. You don't want that. God doesn't want that for you. He tells us that we have to pray for our enemies and that we have to forgive 70 times 7 or 7 times 70, right? So that means we have to forgive until we have totally forgiven, into perfection. So you need to do that. What you do not need to do is to allow this kind of emotional abuse and abuse of the marital bond. You do not have to accept that. So what I think that you need to do is to talk to your priest, explain the situation, and talk with your husband, see where his head is. Is he still, is there any hope? Is there any hope for reconciling this particular situation? I think there might be some hope, and that he says he still cares for you. Right now, he's not thinking clearly. He's not thinking spiritually. He's thinking physically. That's the only thing he's thinking, is physically. So the thing is that if indeed he decides that he's going to persist in that, then the priest can give you what your options are on that. The fact that he's cheated on you more than one time may indicate that he's cheated on you prior to this recent kind of episodes of cheating. We don't know that. But I think that what you need to do is to speak to your priest. You need to begin this process of forgiveness of him, which again doesn't mean that you're condoning the behavior. Jesus did not condone those who were killing him, persecuting him, treating him poorly. He did not condone that, but he certainly did forgive. So you have to ask God to let his mercy rise up in your heart, that you can then extend that to this man. And I think that you need to talk with your priest about what would be the alternatives for you in this situation. But you don't have to tolerate this kind of emotional abuse. Okay.
I have prayed, and God just keeps on giving me messages that I need to have faith.
Yes.
And that I need to continue praying for my husband's soul, because his soul's lost.
That's right. It seems evident that it is. We don't know. We can't judge that. But he certainly is acting in a way that would lead us to believe that he certainly is separating himself from God.
And this is not my husband. I know how my husband is. My husband was never like this. My husband used to be a little overweight. He had some health problems. He lost a lot of weight because he did the surgery, and now that he's, you know, a little slimmer and takes pictures of himself and posts on social media, that's when it all started.
Yeah, yeah. So he's full. He's not full of God. He's full of himself. You know.
Exactly.
Yes. So exactly. you keep praying for him, but by the same token, I think it's important to have a very serious conversation with your priest and a very serious conversation with your husband. That's my recommendation to you. You be faithful to your vows and you pray for God to give you the ability to be able to be merciful towards him and to forgive him. But remember one thing, forgiveness is a one-way street. You know, we have to walk down that street. We're commanded by God to walk down that street. Reconciliation is a two-way street. Reconciliation means that the other person wants to be forgiven and wants to live out a life that proves that he or she wants to be forgiven. It means a new path. So that's what I would suggest, you know, and the rest of it, you know, your husband has free will. We don't know how he's going to use that free will, but I think that getting some good concrete advice from your pastor would be a very good thing. Mary, we'll be praying for you and we'll be praying for this situation. And you know, I'll tell you what, friends, I know lots of you have been through things like this. And I know that lots of you have actually had reconciliation in your marriage, even after adultery. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Maybe you have some advice and counsel for Mary. We'd like to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Let's go to Ruth. She is in Eastern PA today. Good morning to you, Ruth.
Good morning. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you. Me too.
I just have a question. It's as far as my, I use like holy water, and I have blessed objects in my home and everything. But my, you know, I want to protect the area around here, and I worry about, you know, these are family members that come in. Mm-hmm. And they don't think they're doing anything wrong, but they're delving into areas they shouldn't. And what I say doesn't really make any effect of it. So, like, I'll say one person came in and we're having a problem with this television or the local TV and its antenna, and it, you know, was just making weird stuff. And we'd had been having that problem all day, and she came in and she said, "Oh no, it's me. It's a spirit following me, or the ghost, or whatever she said." And you know, so I'm not sure how to deal with that.
Well, Ruth, let's just talk about the reality of the fact that there are evil spirits. There's no question about that. When we involve ourselves in occult activity, we are inviting those spirits in. Then they have a right to be there. And we invite them to be around us. We invite them into our homes if there's occult activity that's been going on in the home. And so, you know, the evil spirits are very legalistic, and they take that as an invitation, and they have a right to be there. Now, do those spirits follow individuals into other places? They certainly can. Just like our guardian angel on the other end of the spectrum, you know, an angel of God who adores God, loves God, has been entrusted to us so that we might gain eternal life. That guardian, our guardian angel, follows us and is with us wherever we go. And there is a converse reality with regard to evil spirits. So what should you do? Well, first of all, every one of us needs to protect the territory of our homes. We absolutely do. This is not to make us paranoid. This is to make us really good guardians of that which God's given us. So we should clean our houses routinely with holy water and blessed salt. And by that, I mean, we use the holy water, we sprinkle it through the house, we use the blessed salt, we sprinkle it through the house. It's always good to pray the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. And men should do this. This is one of the signs of their priesthood with a lowercase P. They are the priest of the family, lowercase P. And this is one of the ways in which they exercise that reality and provide protection for their families, as well as provision for their families, as well as leading their families. If you are a single woman, you have that authority in your home. So we need to do that on a routine basis. I always recommend also that we protect the territory upon which our home sits, right? So we can walk our property line with blessed salt, praying the St. Michael prayer to ask for God's protection over our homes and over our homestead. So I recommend that. The next thing is, if you know that somebody is actively involved in the occult, and this person is even stating, oh, that's just a spirit, the person is saying they've got a spirit following them. They probably know that. It's a familiar spirit to them. Something that they have encountered more than one time. That's not the first time walking into your home that they've encountered that spirit. So I would be very reluctant to have them come into the home. You know, you want to meet them in public somewhere, okay. But into your home, I'm not really so sure. Our homes are meant to be domestic churches, right? We have to get that into our heads too, in light of some of what we were talking about earlier in the show. You know, we've got to get into our heads that our home is a domestic church. It is supposed to reflect our life of faith, and the spirit of the living God is welcome there, right? So we want to protect this domestic church that is ours and not do anything in that home that could bring about some kind of idolatrous action towards God, or could in some way, sacrilege is almost too big of a word for it, but could in some way defile, maybe that's a better word. It would in some way defile our domestic church. So your home is your domestic church. You need to protect it and guard it if you're a single woman. And I think that it's very important that you consider, you know, just not planning to invite that person into your home. That's my suggestion.
Is my husband and my daughter, and I pray for her all the time.
This is your daughter?
Yes.
Yeah. And that makes it even more complicated. Believe me, I understand. It's a very complicated situation here. And obviously, you've spoken to your daughter and things like that. And, I still think that I would try to hold that kind of... you don't want to cut the lines of communication. That's the important thing. You don't want to cut the lines of communication. Why? Because you can provide the truth for her, right? If for the sake of that relationship, it's important for you to have this kind of, you know, ongoing interaction with her, which I would understand completely. Then I just think that you have to take the remedies that I've mentioned to you, seriously, and that you protect you protect that domestic church that is yours, and okay. Do the best that you can. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
And you're welcome, Ruth. God bless you. And this is so hard today, you know, friends. We do, every Wednesday we have Wacky Wednesday with Sue Brinkman. We talk about all of the things that are assaulting our culture today that are coming from unholy sources, from the New Age, from actual outright occult activity, from Satanism, from the sins that are part of our day and time that are not even considered to be sins, the corporate weight of all of that in our world today. And so we have to be vigilant. And how we sort that out, you know, the church gives us remedies. We want to be aware of those remedies. How we sort them out, I think we need to continually be praying to the Holy Spirit, asking for insight and asking for advice and counsel from God, you know, and going the way that we believe we're being led, but also checking out that way in which we believe we're being led with somebody that can give us good advice and counsel. So I always recommend, you know, you talk to a priest in this situation. I remember I had something going on and I took it to confession and asked the priest to give me some advice and counsel because I thought I might be being too rigid on something. And what he said to me is, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. This can conflict the situation and make it even worse. He was really affirming the fact that a strong line had been taken. So you know, I just offer that to you. I think priests can give us excellent advice, but you want to go to somebody that understands these spiritual realities. Very quick comment out here on YouTube. Kate, she says, Johnette, have you done an episode on third orders, associations, and secular institutes? I would love to hear you talk about them in depth. Well, there's a very good suggestion, Kate, and perhaps I'll submit that to the review committee here at EWTN. We'll see if perhaps we can do a program on that. It's always good for us to know about these realities of our Holy Catholic faith. Well, it's been great being with you today. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Hoping that you get your questions all, you know, queued up in your mind and maybe even write them down and give us a call with them tomorrow. It's been wonderful being with you, asking you to continue to pray for our efforts here as we pray for your efforts as well. Until we are together again, may God bless you. Bye-bye now.